New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins is beloved for her heartfelt novels filled with humor and wisdom. Now, in her newest, Good Luck With That, she tackles an issue every woman deals with: body image and self-acceptance. She's with me today on 15 with the Author. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you, Terry. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, give our listeners just a brief description of Good Luck With That.
Sure. It's the story of three friends who meet as teenagers at weight loss camp, and they make a list, as adolescent girls often do, of the things that they'll do when they're skinny. They're all plus-size girls, and they've all longed to have that, quote, ideal body. And on the last day of camp, they make this list, and it's filled with some silly things and some profound things, things like tuck in a shirt, which is like the ultimate skinny girl outfit, or be taken home by your boyfriend to meet his family, and confront people who judged us when we were overweight. And then they go off and live their lives. Two of them, Georgia and Marley, stay really close friends, and Emerson lives a few states away. And they see each other here and there, but when they're 35, they get a call from Emerson. Georgia and Marley live in Westchester County, New York, and they share a house. And they get this call from Emerson that she's in the hospital and very sick. And they go visit her, and she's dying from complications related to obesity. And they're really stunned that she's so sick and has gotten to be well over 600 pounds. And she gives them the list of the things they had made when they were 17. And then, tragically, the next day she dies. And Marley and Georgia are just broken. And they feel, you know, could we have done something? Had we known? Did we do enough as a friend? So they decide to do the things on the list. Emerson asks them to do it. And they look at the list as like, well, these aren't exactly life accomplishments. And yet, some of these things strike a chord still. Some of them remind them of the fact that maybe they haven't lived their best lives for whatever reason. Georgia comes from this very wealthy family where her mother was fixated on her size, you know, this thin, beautiful mother who was constantly criticizing Georgia, even though Georgia goes to Princeton and Yale and speaks three languages. It doesn't seem to matter. What matters to her mother is that she's overweight. Yeah. And Marley grew up with this loving, big Italian family who shows love through eating and food and cooking. Marley's a personal chef. She's a plus-size woman, but she's also really healthy, athletic. She loves to eat good food. She loves to run and take yoga and Zumba. But she has unresolved issues as well. She lost a twin when she was 4. And even though she barely remembers her little sister, she mourns her. She feels like something is missing in her life. And Georgia has unresolved issues with her ex-husband, who was this wonderful man who loved her completely and unconditionally, but she could not accept that love. She'd never felt like he really knew her, and she was afraid if he did know her, he wouldn't love her. So she creates this distance between them and essentially ruins their marriage.
Wow.
So they decide to take on the things on the list, and as they do it, and they edit the list, and they add to it and subtract from it, they start to go on this journey of self-acceptance in a society where women are constantly told they're wrong. You know, we are a society obsessed with size and obsessed with food. And those two messages are so hard to separate. You know, we all know that it's what you are inside that matters and what you do, how you treat people. And yet you can't leave the house without seeing images of extremely beautiful people and magazines telling you to lose 20 pounds in a week and also to make your best chocolate cake ever and, you know, all of these conflicting messages that I think every woman and every girl have to unravel themselves. So this is a story of that unraveling and learning to love yourself and take care of yourself, not to lose weight, but to appreciate yourself exactly as you are in this moment.
Who you are. And it's interesting because my sister, who's 10 years older than me and treated me like her own special little doll. She was overweight most of her life, and I'm a smaller person. She had gastric bypass about 14 years ago, but what was amazing to her is that I never saw her weight. I just simply loved her, but my mom did.
Oh, yeah.
So there was that judging that was going on, and there's a fear as well in terms of letting out who we are. You have a really interesting, in chapter 14, you begin with a letter to Other Emerson, which I thought was so eye-opening. Where did that come from for you?
Well, Emerson is the character who struggles the most with weight, and she eventually becomes disabled by her size, housebound. And I wanted to create a character of that size because we don't see them in fiction that much. Right. You know, we have the character of Kate on This Is Us for the first time ever in my memory that we've had a character who is morbidly obese, and it's part of her storyline, but it's not the only part. And I think that as a society, we tend to judge people of size very harshly, even though we're an overweight nation. And so Emerson has this idea of, you know, if she had made different choices, if she hadn't had some of the losses and trauma in her life, that she would be living this other life, that someone with her beautiful name would have this amazing life. Mm-hmm. And so she writes in her journal, "Dear Other Emerson," and she addresses that question that people have when they see someone, you know, who is so big, of how did you get there? You know, why didn't you stop when you weighed 300 pounds or 400 pounds or however much? And she says, I'll tell you how I got this big. And she has this very angry, honest journal entry about what has happened to her in her life and how food has always been her comfort and then eventually her addiction. And food addiction is a reality in America. Mm-hmm. And she is a true food addict. She's not just a heavy person who likes to overindulge sometimes. You know, she is addicted to food the way people get addicted to heroin or alcohol.
Right.
And like any kind of addiction, it's not easy to see, and it's not pretty. She really struggles with pain and medical conditions and then the constant endless judgment.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted people to feel compassion and kind of walk in her shoes. And some of the reader mail that I've gotten so far has been really beautiful, both from, you know, people of size who say, you know, I am Emerson, and I feel seen, and I'm so glad that you wrote her with this kind of compassion and insight. And then other people who say, I will never look at someone that size again and judge them, because I feel like my eyes have been opened. So.
And where did this come from for you? We're talking, I want to remind folks, we're talking with Kristen Higgins. She is the author of Good Luck With That. Where did this book come from for you?
Well, I'm one of those women who has always struggled to feel comfortable in my own skin and always felt wrong. You know, I'm a tall woman. I'm very broad. I have weighed, you know, anywhere between like 75 pounds, you know, where I am now. And food has always been an issue for me. Mm-hmm. I've binged, I've purged, I've done all the bad eating habits in the book. I've had all those thoughts of, you know, if I'm sick, well, that's okay. At least I'll lose weight. Or, you know, maybe grief over a loss will help me lose weight. It's just this constant narrative that I think so many of us have. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to address the issue in a very honest and unflinching way, that this is something we women deal with and we shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
It's time to say, enough, I'm just going to appreciate myself the way I am. And one of the themes of the book is friendship and how wonderful we are to our friends and how we have to kind of turn that love and acceptance on ourselves in order to be healthy. And health is not just weight or size or physical health. It's also spiritual, mental, social health, you know, getting rid of the toxic people who bring you down and surrounding yourselves with the people who really see the value that you have.
Yeah, it's so much easier to see someone else's value than our own. It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you know Emerson, Georgia, and Marley? Are those people that you have known? I know that sometimes writers say that their characters talk to them. How did you imagine them? Did they talk to you?
Very much so. I mean, there's big parts of myself in each woman. There's a scene where Emerson is alone for the weekend and she orders and eats two pizzas in a row. And I've done that. You know, I understand the power of food, even when it's a dark power, you know. Georgia, with that, you know, constant feeling of discomfort and feeling like I'm not enough. I don't believe that, you know, I'm okay the way I am. And then Marley, I think I've sort of evolved into Marley, who has a much healthier outlook on herself. There's a point early in the book where she strips naked and looks at herself in the mirror and she says, you know what, this is my body and it works.
Yeah.
And I'm alive and I can walk and I can breathe and I'm going to start enjoying that.
I think that theme is so strong for overweight, certainly, and also women who, we get older and our bodies change and things fall down and they're wrinkled and they're not, you don't look like you did when you were even 40. And suddenly, all of a sudden, you're trying to cover yourself up because you don't want people to see that part anymore. Mm-hmm. And yet it's that same thing that, hey, I'm alive. I'm here. I'm valuable.
Right. And, you know, one of the fascinating things that I learned while researching this book, because I spent about 3 months researching it from a science point of view, biology, physiology, and also psychological, you know, the nature of addiction, the history of the food industry in America. But one of the things I learned is how valuable fat is to our bodies and our health. Mm. You know, when you're a young teenage girl and you go through puberty, that weight is on there for a reason. And when you go through menopause on the other end of that, you tend to gain weight. And that's for a reason, too. Like, nature knows what it's doing. And, you know, the diet industry, the weight loss industry, it is, you know, multi-billion dollars that we American women spend every year trying to lose weight. And it's a system designed to fail.
Yeah.
You know, the deck is stacked against us. And I really believe that true health is to just stop trying and just be kind to your body the way you would be kind to your friend, and to keep those positive messages and try to shut down the negative ones that tell you, nope, you need to lose 20 pounds by summer, you know?
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that brings me to the fact that you do have such humor in a book that does have tragedy, but you make it this balancing act. How did you do that?
Well, in writing about such a fraught emotional subject as weight, and I know like everyone has their own story that they bring to a book, I definitely wanted to balance it with love and humor. And I think that those are two sides of the same coin. You know, you will cry with a character because you love them and you'll laugh with them for the same reason.
Yeah.
And so there are scenes in the book that I think are laugh out funny. And there are scenes that are more difficult to read, but based on the reviews that I've gotten from Entertainment Weekly and Library Journal and Publishers Weekly, it's really refreshing to read a book that is so honest and raw, but also leaves you laughing and